So they say nice guys finish last. Is that true? Yes. Because when you're saying yes to be a people pleaser and just do the things that you think is going to make everybody else happy, you end up being out of integrity. What is integrity? Integrity is actually listening and feeling to your own values about what is right for you and is right for the world. And it is the key component to happiness. Our guest today has hit rock bottom. He was a massive people pleaser. He said yes to everybody, and his integrity breaches ended up leading to a complete meltdown in his life. I myself have integrity breaches on a regular basis, and every time I do, my life is worse and my moods are worse. I'm going to teach you today how to stay in integrity, not just be a nice guy, but be nice only when it feels right. And I can't wait for you to learn.
Welcome to The Good Mood Show. Here's your host, Matt O'Neill.
So little did I know that when I started on the path to good moods, that it was going to lead me to integrity. And what I discovered as I started to conquer all of these bad mood emotions like shame and guilt and fear and anger is that all of these things are solved with one simple act, and that is acting with the utmost integrity. That is, you choose the virtues that make you feel good and then stand by those, even if it costs you external success. So I love to play basketball. And this morning I was playing basketball with my buddies, and something always happens. A ball will hit the line, and you don't fully know if it hit the line or if it didn't hit the line. And it just seems like a simple thing that you want your team to win. And so you say, that ball was in, when maybe you think it did hit the line. Well, every time I'm faced with that situation, I go back to this notion that integrity is the foundation of all good moods, because it is. Because even if I win the game by saying that that ball was in when I kind of think it was out, I lose the ultimate game, because somebody sees that. I see it. My subconscious sees it. And then this guilt accumulates in me that says I didn't live with integrity. And then I have to atone for that in some way. This is karma. Karma happens because we know what we did wrong. And then we have to make it right in some way. It may not be in that basketball game. Maybe it shows up later in life. But if we start to breach our integrity on little things, like did the ball hit the line or did it not, then we start to say it's okay to breach our integrity on a little bit bigger things. One of my favorite books is by Clayton Christensen. It's called How Will You Measure Your Life? And he initially was going to call that book How to Stay Out of Jail, because many of the people he went to Harvard with ended up in jail in the Enron scandal. And he describes that in his book. And he said the first time they needed to make their numbers for their shareholders, they just fudged the numbers in their books just slightly. It was just a little bit, and they hit the numbers and everybody celebrated, and they knew the next quarter they were going to make up for the things that they had said that they had misinterpreted or misprinted. Well, the next quarter they didn't make up for it. And so they had to fudge the numbers in a bigger way. And then they ended up in this kind of lack of integrity cycle where they eventually went to jail for fraud because they put their numbers incorrectly for so long that they were fooling everybody. Well, you can't fool yourself. And so my guest today has got, he calls integrity a spiritual act. He's got an upcoming book called Finding Your Way Without Losing Yourself, The Path of Integrity. His name is Chuck Chapman. He's a licensed therapist and a men's coach. And I'm so excited to have this conversation. Chuck, welcome to the Good Mood Show.
Matt, thanks so much for having me on. I appreciate it so much. This is, you're talking my language, man. This is exactly what I'm all about. Like in my book, I shared the same thing, you know, that it's the little things, you know. There's a verse in the Song of Solomon that says it's the little foxes that spoil the fields, meaning it's the little thing you do. And one of the examples I give in the book is the argument I have with myself when I'm faced with something small, like putting the grocery cart into the little rack instead of leaving it on, you know, in the parking lot someplace, you know, when it's rainy and cold and all of that. And it's like, oh, I don't want to do this. But just this small act like that, like you said, it increases your integrity muscle. And so I love the story that you shared. That was so beautiful because it's exactly it. It's the small little choices that we make on a daily basis that tend to either lead us in integrity or out of integrity.
Well, you, in your book, your upcoming book, you have 16 virtues that you recommend. And so I had a guest on the show, Ryan Bush, and Ryan said there's a third dimension to happiness. He said everyone understands pain and pleasure, that there's pain and then pleasure, of course, is going to make us feel good. And then he said, we all understand loss and gain. Like something I do is going to gain me something and something I'm going to do is going to lose me something. The gain will feel good. He said, but the third dimension of happiness is virtue. And we are happy to the extent that we have pleasure, gain, but more so that we live to our virtues. And so when I had the opportunity to talk with you about these 16 virtues, I got really excited because I think this is what good moods are all about. And the first virtue that you suggested to me was courage. And I totally agree that it's number one because it takes courage to act with integrity. It's easy to do what's easy, and it's hard to do the right thing in some cases. Why do you feel like courage is the first virtue to discuss when it comes to good moods?
Yeah, well, you know, in the book, I actually call courage the North Star of all virtues because it's the one that you need in order to do any virtue, right? Because the, you know, a virtue is not, or a non-virtue or the opposite of a virtue is a natural act, right? It isn't natural to be cowardice or to be afraid or to shrink back and not have the difficult conversation that you know you need to have or, you know, avoid pain in some way. And so courage really is kind of the first step of living in integrity because it takes an act of courage to do that. And I would say that, you know, one of my favorite quotes by M. Scott Peck was, courage isn't the absence of fear, it's the ability to move forward in the face of fear. And that you're going to feel afraid, right? That's the natural act. But the spiritual act of courage is I override my nature and I do the thing that keeps me in alignment with my virtues and keeps me in alignment with integrity. So I believe it all starts with courage, absolutely, which is why I made it number one.
So the number one in my upcoming book is humility. And humility is one of the virtues that is one of your 16 as well. I made humility the first virtue to good moods because it is the antidote to pride. And I believe that pride is the pinnacle of the ego, that we always want to look good. We always want to win. And this is like, you know, lying about the ball being on the line or not. Pridefully, the pride in us would say, no, that's in, even though we know it's out, because winning the game and looking good is the most important thing to the ego. But it takes humility to say, you know, it doesn't matter if I win because life's not really a competition. And that's why I started with humility. And I think humility is also saying it doesn't matter if I look good. It doesn't matter if I win this competition, if I succeed, the external things I'm succeeding at, because at the end of the day, that stuff isn't what's important. What's important is doing the right thing. And it takes a tremendous amount of humility to do that. Also, when we're judging people, you know, like, hey, this person's a jerk. That person cut me off. I'm going to flip them off, right? We're judging them. Somebody sends me a terse email. I can't believe they would do that. Well, all of our judgments are also really ego pride things. Like we know what's best for them. We don't know what's best for them. So it takes humility to say, I really don't know what's best for anyone other than me. And so I'm just not going to judge people because that's not my place. What are your thoughts? What does humility mean to you? And why is that one of your virtues?
And again, I didn't make it number two, but oftentimes, like for my own self, one of the things that I do is I try to have, you know, because there's 16 virtues, that's a lot, right? But what are my top five, you know? And humility is number two for me personally. Wow. And the reason for that is because, just like you were saying, that when I judge somebody, it's generally a projection of the thing that I don't like about in myself.
It's always a projection.
Yeah.
People are just a mirror. They are a mirror. We're seeing whatever's in us in them. So when we're feeling loving and beautiful, we see people who are loving and beautiful.
Exactly.
And when we're feeling really nasty and mean and ugly, we see someone who's nasty and mean and ugly. One of my favorite quotes is, all acts by others are one of two things. They're either a loving gesture or a cry out for love. So when my mind is loving and I see someone do something unkind, I'm like, oh, that's someone who's hurting. They just need more love. But when my mind is ugly and I see someone do something unkind, I'm like, oh, they're awful. What a jerk.
I know, right? Yeah. No, I totally agree. I think that like the projection piece of it, what it's really doing is, these are the things that I don't like about myself. And when I judge somebody, you know, the book I call it the judge knots, you know, the knots tie you in knots when you judge something, and it keeps you stuck. It keeps you in this place of ego, right? And when you're able to live in integrity, and my thesis is that integrity is the ultimate act of love, and that love is a spiritual act, that when I'm in integrity, I'm actually loving. And so when I'm in humility, or when I'm in any of these other virtues, it's coming from a place of love, because love, again, isn't really a natural act. It's a spiritual component that comes from, I think, the internal self, that part of you, you want to call it the divine spark, or the you that's you. But you, at your highest level self, when you live in love and grace and compassion and humility, you feel a whole lot better than
sure
when
does.
You're in
doesn't
that.
It, doesn't it feel good?
Yeah.
So, we started out talking about integrity. And I think grace is such a beautiful piece of integrity, because as I said, anytime we make a low integrity choice, like we cheat in some way, you know, cheat in the game, we cheat on our taxes. Well, we see it and our subconscious registers it and says, I cheated and I'm going to have to make this right. I don't care if you believe in this or not, if you're listening, it's a truth. That when you cheat, it always is atoned for, and you're the one who atones for it, because our beings won't allow it. It won't allow it to happen. So usually when you see somebody's life is like a giant dumpster fire and everything's falling apart, it's just atoning for a bunch of low integrity choices. And then from the bottom, we get a chance to say, okay, well, I can do this again and I can make the next right integrity choice. When it comes to giving grace, I see that as building like armor of positive karma in the future, that if somebody harms me, like I feel harmed today, I know this person didn't intentionally harm me, they were just making a choice for themselves, but it feels personal. If someone does something that feels personal and all I do is extend grace and understanding, well, the next time I do something to somebody else, karma would say, I've stacked some positive vibes here, and that I'm most likely going to get grace back for the next mistake that I make, because I'm not perfect. I'm going to make a mistake one day. I'm going to hurt somebody's feelings. And I hope that all the positive grace I've extended will then get extended back to me in that way. And I think it does.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah. And I like what you said there, because I think I talk about this in the book a little bit, my own story, where my life had blown apart. I had spent years basically hiding my truth, hiding from myself. I was what I call the nice guy. In other words, I was fraudulently nice. I would give to get. I would do things that, you know, if you asked me to do something and I didn't want to do it, I didn't want the conflict. So what I would do is I would just agree to it, but then I would go and do what I wanted to do. And then if you called me out on it, I would pretend like, oh, I misunderstood what you said. And stacking years and years of that and repressing that and living out of integrity, not with integrity, my life imploded. And part of where this book comes from was...
What happened? What was the implosion? Do you mind telling us?
No, I don't mind. It was... I think the culmination of it was my wife left me, and she left me for a woman, which was also just kind of a big blow to my ego. And there was just a culmination of things that in my life that were painful. When she left, I just went back into my addiction, you know, with porn, alcohol, shopping, whatever kind of did. And I remember at that time almost consciously saying, I'm just going to live. I've been trying to live like this good person all my life and it hasn't worked. So I'm just going to like live however I want to. And ended up like in the worst situation possible. I ended up in the hospital after drinking myself to a point of oblivion. Right after my wife left me, I jumped into a relationship with the first woman that showed me any attention. That imploded. I ended up, like I said, in the hospital. And then after that, I started going to AA. And while I was in AA, my sponsor said something to me that was just pinnacle and life-changing. He said, Chuck, the reason you're suffering so much is because you're out of integrity. And I didn't know what he meant by that, integrity. And so that was part of, you know, my deep dive into understanding what integrity is. Because if integrity was the answer of getting out of my suffering, I wanted to know what that was. And what I realized was integrity wasn't one thing, but it is an integration of things. It's an integration of these 16 virtues. And that when I live in integrity, okay, I am serving my purpose. I use the example of like a wristwatch. I'm wearing a watch here, and you know, it's full of sprockets and springs and cogs and whatnots. And as long as all of those things are in integrity, the watch serves its purpose, which is to tell time. If you take one little sprocket, one little spring, and you twist it just a little bit, the watch ceases to do its purpose. It's out of integrity. And so integrity, like I said, isn't one thing. It's a combination of all of these things. And then the purpose is that we're able to extend love to others and most importantly to ourselves.
And thank you for sharing that story. And it's so complicated because you started out by saying that your integrity breaches were done to be the nice guy. You know, so like, how do we know the line between taking the shopping cart back is an example, right? Because that's a nice thing to do. That's the right thing to do versus somebody asks you to do something, you don't have time for it, but you don't want to let them down or, you know, and so you say yes to doing it even, and then you can't fulfill it and then you're letting them down. Like, how do we know when to be the nice guy is an integrity and when it's not an integrity?
Yeah. And I always say there's a real short line between what I call the opposite of a nice guy isn't a jerk. The opposite of a nice guy is what I call a man of integrity, right? And it's a really short line because when I'm doing something from sort of the nice guy idea, what I'm doing it is I'm doing it as a means to get approval from you. And when I'm seeking to get approval from you in some way, then I'm in that nice guy position. But when I'm doing it from
that's a really good distinction. Yeah.
Yeah. When I'm doing it from a pure act of gift, you know, hey, I want to help you out. And so if I can't, the most integrity thing for me to do is say, man, I wish I could, but I really can't, you know?
I was just, so one of my very good friends from high school and college, his father passed away yesterday. And this morning I'm thinking, am I gonna go to the funeral and support my good friend? And this was actually my thought process. I was thinking, am I doing that to get approval from him? Or am I doing that truly to just show up and support and love somebody that I love? And that's the question that you're posing here, is the answer to whether we say yes to something in integrity or we say yes to something as a people pleaser, which is going to put us out of integrity. Because every time we say yes to something as a people pleaser to get something, we're saying no to all the other options that might actually need our attention. Like, I've got four kids, you know, I've got a company to run, I've got a big life. And so if I just go to like get his approval instead of actually being there for him, then I'm letting down all the other things that need my responsibility. So that's just my real world thought process right now about this idea.
Yeah, I think we all struggle with that, you know, but if you're unconscious about those kind of decisions that you make, right? If you're not really asking yourself and doing the inquiry, just like you did with yourself, of, am I doing this to get approval or am I doing this because I want to give a gift to my friend? You know, and like I said, it's a short line. So I may say to myself, you know what? There's part of me that wants his approval, but the bigger part of me really just wants to go and support my friend.
Yeah, that's how I feel.
And so I'm going to give a gift to him and I'm going to come at it from that mindset of, I'm not doing this for any other reason but to go and support my friend as an act of love. And yeah, that's where I think we're in integrity.
Yeah, and then, you know, this is such a fun conversation for me to talk about these things, because there's no hard and fast rule. It truly is a feeling your way there and being so intentional and so conscious all the time about every decision that we're making. So I know you said there were five of the 16 that are your guiding five. I think five is a really good number. We've already talked about courage and humility and grace. What are the other two that are the guiding virtues for you?
I would say temperance and forgiveness would be the other.
Yeah, good. I'm glad you said temperance, because I don't know what that word means.
Good.
So let's talk about it.
Yeah, it's an old word. I mean, it's not really used much anymore in today's, you know, language. But temperance is basically, you know, moderation in all things, okay? Too much of anything is bad for you. You can drink too much water and get, you know, become toxic. You can have too much oxygen, you know? So too much of anything, where temperance is really like living in balance, that what I want to be able to do is to live in a place where I'm able to, you know, give a lot of love, but I'm also loving myself. There's a balance there. Because if all I'm doing is loving everybody else and not loving myself, then what happens is I'm out of balance. And so temperance is really a question about balance. In the book, I talk about six different domains that I use to help me with temperance and balance, and asking myself kind of the inquiry like you were doing, where am I out of integrity or where am I out of balance? And so those six things are my physical self, my emotional self, my spiritual self, my relationships, my finances, and recreation. Because the first thing starts with the physical. I've got to be taking care of myself, okay? If I'm not getting enough sleep, if I'm not eating right, if I'm not exercising, if I'm not taking care of myself, then the physical part of me is out of balance, right?
Yeah, that's why when in the airplane, when they say the oxygen mask is going to come down, they say, put it on your child first, right?
No, they say put it on yourself first.
Right. Because if you can't breathe, then you can't help anybody.
Exactly.
Right. So we gotta take care. So you put the taking care of ourself so that we have the light that to give to the world. Because if our Absolutely. Light goes out, because we just try to help everybody and grind ourselves in the ground, we're out of service.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. One of the things I draw out in the book, and again, you know, I didn't write this specifically as a Christian book or anything like that, but because of my background, it's what I reference a lot of time. I also reference Buddha and, you know, philosophers and things of that nature. But, you know, when they asked Jesus, you know, what's the great commandment? You know, he said, love God. But then he also said, love your neighbor as yourself. And what we tend to think about when we think about that sort of golden rule is that means love your neighbor more than yourself. But it's not. It's at the measure of which you love yourself is the measure in which you can love someone else. So if you're not loving yourself, then you can't love someone else as your neighbor.
It's beautiful. And, yeah.
And so I one of the things I really focus on even throughout the book is because self-love, filling your cup so that you have the capacity to be able to give. So if I'm not filling myself with love and doing good things for myself, which is why number six was recreational, which is, you know, have fun. If you're not having fun, what's
go out to dinner, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just enjoy life.
Yeah. You know? Right. Go surfing. Yeah. I love to surf.
Yeah. Yeah. So, you know, have fun. And that's typically the one that we throw out first, right? Is, oh, I've got all these responsibilities. I can't do this. But when I throw that out, I'm out of balance. It's kind of like I refer to these six things as like spinning plates, you know? And they're always wobbling. They're always kind of coming, you know, one needs attention and then the other one needs attention. And when all six of my plates are spinning, you know, in balance like that, then I'm in temperance.
Oh, it's beautiful. So I joined this group called GoBundance in 2017. And so it's been 7 years that I've been with these guys. And they we do this exercise every year called the one sheet. And on the one sheet, there are these categories plus two others. And we set goals for our life in all the major categories of life. And there's physical and relationship and emotional and, you know, spiritual, just as you have. And that is one way that I find myself staying in balance, is to have a vision for each of these areas of my life. You know, what's the way that you keep your plates balanced?
Well, you know, you hit on something that's key, right? You can't do this alone. You've got to have brothers. You've got to have other people that are kind of in alignment with your own virtues that are encouraging you to stay the path, right? And so if I'm struggling and I don't have anybody to love me, right, then I'm going to be empty. But by being in relationship with others, especially I think as guys, relationship with other men is so important, that we have brothers who are speaking into our lives, that are holding us accountable with grace, you know, not out of a place of shame, but just of a place where I can be authentically myself. That I can give and receive, you know, that's such an important way, I think, of staying in balance, is you've got to have some, like, you know, the reflection of the mirror. You have to have other people that are reflecting back to you the things that you can't see.
Yeah, absolutely. And, I've read that so many times, and I kept reading that you become the people that you hang around the most. And I'm like, man, well, I want to hang around really amazing people. And so I was looking for a tribe of brothers that we're in alignment with who I wanted to be. I'm glad I found these guys, because it's been beautiful that we meet up every month. That, you know, there's 15 of us that live locally here in my town of Charleston. And accountability is one of the pillars of that organization. And it's really important to have somebody hold you accountable. It's important for somebody to say, hey, I know you're saying everything's going great, but I'm seeing you out of balance here. I'm seeing, you know, you had mentioned, you said a few different things about your relationship with your spouse that maybe you didn't notice, but I noticed. And in your, you know, that's not the way that you typically speak. So what's going on there? And it's been really great for me to have that group of guys that does care about me, but also is willing to hold me accountable to being the best version of myself, because that's who I want to be.
Absolutely. Yeah.
So our fifth value, and I'm so glad you described temperance to me. I'm going to use it. I really like it a lot. The fifth value is forgiveness. You know, why is forgiveness so important to you?
Well, forgiveness oftentimes is not really what we think. I think is that forgiveness is a gift that I'm doing for myself and for someone else. Okay. The way I kind of describe it is this. When somebody does something to you, they create a debt. All right. So for example, you know, your friend, you felt betrayed, created this debt, right? Now, old school would be like an eye for an eye. You know, if you punch me in the nose, I owe you a punch back. But instead, by offering grace, I say, I'm not going to punch you. Instead, I'm going to forgive the debt. And the way I would describe it is this. Let's say I came to you and I said, hey, can I borrow $10? I'll pay you back next week. And next week came, oh man, I forgot. I'll get you next week. And the next week, and then the next week. At some point, you're probably going to go, Chuck, don't worry about it. It was 10 bucks. And you have forgiven the debt at that point. Okay. You've given up your right to collect on that debt. So forgiveness is giving up your right to collect on the thing that somebody has done to you. Now, if I come back to you in a week and I say, hey, can I borrow 10 bucks? And you say, no. I say, but why not? You forgave me, right? Well, I've forgiven you, but trust has been broken and every relationship is founded on trust. And if I can't trust you, that doesn't mean I don't forgive you. It simply means that the relationship hasn't been restored in this area. I believe it's the person who, you know, created the debt in the first place to restore trust. And how do you restore trust? Is you become trustworthy. In other words, integrity. You walk in integrity. So now I might come back to you and say, hey, Matt, I know you forgave the debt, but I want to pay you back anyway. And here's a dollar for interest. And then you see me go to somebody over here and ask for 10 bucks. And then the next week I pay him back. And then you see me do that again over here. And after a while, if I come to you and I say, hey, can I borrow 10 bucks? You might say, yeah, sure. Because at that point, I restored trust. So you've forgiven me, but I've restored trust. And that's part of the balance then of living in integrity is when I've broken trust with someone, okay, and I'm asking them for forgiveness, that it is up to me then to restore the trust. So that's why I think forgiveness is such a profound part of everything that we do.
Oh, I love that story about the $10. It really is a wonderful illustration of how we can build that trust back. You know, I tell the story of the scorpion and the frog. And the scorpion and the frog doesn't give someone an opportunity to transform out of a scorpion. So, and for the person listening, the story of the scorpion and the frog is there's a scorpion standing on the side of a riverbank. And she wants to get across the other side of the river, but she can't swim. So she calls out to the frog in the river and she says, hey, will you give me a ride on your back to the other side of the river? I really need to get over there. And the frog says, no, you're a scorpion. You'll sting me. You know, scorpions sting frogs. And the scorpion's like, why? If I was on your back in the middle of the river and I stung you, we both would drown. There's no way I would sting you. And the frog's like, oh, okay. Kind of makes sense. Yeah, sure. I'm a good guy. I'll go ahead and give you a ride. And so frogs swim in the scorpion to the other side of the river and they get to the middle of the river and she raises her stinger and she stings the frog right in the back. And as the frog and the scorpion are both drowning, he looks at the scorpion and just awe and is like, why did you sting me? We're going to die. And the scorpion says, because I'm a scorpion.
That's what scorpions do.
That's what I do. I sting. And so I tell that story when I talk about forgiveness, because I'm like, man, sometimes people who have proven to me that they're going to use their stinger, well, I'm going to love them. I can't drown in the river of hurt over and over and over because you've shown that you're going to use your stinger and you're going to use it again because it's just in your nature. So it's better for me to forgive you, forgive the debt, because I agree with you. When I forgive, I'm set free and you're set free too. But then to wave at you from the other side of the riverbank and blow you kisses. Mm-hmm. And when you ask if you can ride on my back, just say no.
Yeah.
No, you cannot. Exactly.
No,
you cannot get a ride on my, I love you. I'm wishing you the best, but I'm not going to let you get that close to me because there's a whole world of people relying on me to be the best frog I could be today. And that includes me not being drowned by, you know, you stinging me. But I like this idea that the scorpion could transform, that she could put the stinger down and prove over and over and over again that she's trustworthy, to where I could say, it's just like, man, but that they're so cunning, those scorpions. A lot of times they like do something nice and you're like, oh man, maybe you've changed, and you bring them in close and then you get stung again over and over and over. I'm like, man, how many times do I need to learn the lesson from this person?
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Which I think one of the things about forgiveness is we feel like if we forgive somebody sometimes that we let them off the hook. You know, well, if I forgive you for this, you know, you hurt me and I'm going to forgive you, then you're not receiving any kind of punishment for this, right? And, you know, one of the other virtues I talk about is justice. And justice is always about restoration. It's always about how do we restore the relationship? You know, it isn't an eye for an eye, but it's, I'm offering you justice as a means. I'm offering you the opportunity to restore our relationship. Okay. I've forgiven you and I'm offering you the opportunity, but that doesn't mean that you get to continue to hurt me over and over again. And you're not off the hook. I'm simply holding you accountable for boundaries that I have with myself. You know, I won't allow anybody to treat me badly. And if you treat me badly, I'm going to use courage and humility and grace and all those things to say, hey, that's not okay. And if it continues to happen, then I'm probably not going to be able to be in this relationship, or it's going to have a very surface kind of feel to it.
Right. Yeah. Chuck, man, I've so enjoyed this conversation. And man, it's like you and I are soul brothers.
I know.
We share so much of the same philosophy. And as I said before we got on, is truth is truth. So, we always find our way there. There's going to be somebody listening to this show that just wants to learn more. How could they get in touch with you?
Yeah. My website is simply chuckchapman.com. My book is available on Amazon. I'm not sure when this podcast will go live, but March 1st of 2024. You can search Finding Your Way Without Losing Yourself and find it on Amazon. I'm available. I work with a lot of guys who have been out of integrity in their life. And part of the work that I do with the guys that I work with is helping them get back into alignment. So you can find out more about the coaching that I do, the work that I do at chuckchapman.com.
I think all of us have been out of integrity at some point in our life. So your pool of people to help is infinite.
Is everyone. So,
all of us.
Yeah. Yeah.
Man, awesome. Well, thank you. Thank you for being here. Guys, thank you for listening. I hope you enjoyed this as much as I did. We'll see you next week.
Thank you for listening to this week's episode of The Good Mood Show with Matt O'Neill. For free resources, videos, and materials about getting into your best moods, head over to thegoodmoodshow.com. See you next week, same time, same place.